Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Trust the Process podcast, where we'll pull back the curtain on new home construction, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process podcast, where we take a behind-the-scenes look at real estate, construction, and everything in between. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Krista, joined again by our resident expert, Michael. And today we're going to talk about...
What are we going to talk about? Oh, bright spots and headwinds.
Oh, bright spots and headwinds.
Which sounds like an 80s punk band.
It should be.
A hair
if
band.
If it isn't, it should
right,
be.
Right, I like it, yeah. So
bright spots and headwinds. As we look into the upcoming year and some of the things that we're anticipating, just kind of thinking about what could be some of the great things that we know will come out of this year and things that we're a little ambivalent about that we're not sure or a little trepidation, perhaps. So...
Yeah, it kind of dovetails in with our 2025.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. That second part mm-hmm. of that episode where we're trying to predict. But that's more kind of raw numbers and trends. I wanted to get into what actually is causing that and what we could see when we talk about, oh, well, of course, retrospectively, we know that 2022 had a rate shock and it caused supply issues and whatever in terms of the new home supply issues.
Sure.
2021 had supply chain issues. What do we see as, what are the variables that keep me awake as a developer and a home builder in 2025 and beyond, things that could linger. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to start with the bad and then talk about the good.
Okay.
And end on a high
note.
Get that out of the way.
Yes.
So,
great strategy.
I think what worries me is overall as a developer, just in general, this is not unique to 2025, is just instability in the housing market. How much of the housing market is propped up by really low unemployment? How much of it is propped up by, before we had high rates, quantitative easing by the Feds mm-hmm. and a lot of money supply and cheap money and cheap mm-hmm. borrowing costs? And what does that look like? And what are we living in right now that we don't even realize, such as demographic shifts? Boomers are getting older. Boomers are buying new homes in their retirement.
They own the majority of the share in terms of the
market. They do, right. Yet the biggest cohort of home buyers are millennials. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of pent-up demand that we'll get to when we talk about the bright spots. But when I worry about, when I talk about headwinds, it's what factors are happening right now that we don't even realize that are propping up demand and propping up the housing market, and what factors outside of our control could change that. And that is the biggest thing that I worry about, is what could cause market instability in the near future while I have these other projects mm-hmm. midstream. That I won't have an ability to make decisions on the fly and change or pass on projects or do, you know, things to mitigate my risk and mitigate my exposure. And it's a fine line between growing too fast and not growing enough and doing the things that I want to do. Want to do more subdivisions. I want to do mm-hmm. more rooftops. I want to just build more inventory. And it doesn't even have to be luxury all the time anymore like it has been. I'm okay with ratcheting that down. But with that becomes, there's more exposure. There's less margin in more mid-market homes. There's more of them to do mid-market homes. You're doing entire subdivisions, and there's more risk, because if it happens 10% price, you know, market correction over 100 houses versus a 10% market correction on 3 luxury homes that already have more margin in them, and I'm only doing 3, that's not as big of a, that's
makes
not as
you
big of a,
vulnerable, right?
It makes you vulnerable. You have a lot
that,
more exposure.
Yeah.
So I feel
mm-hmm.
that's something that I really worry about. And I've been spoiled in luxury. You have to build the right product. You have to build what people want. You have to be fashion forward and design forward. But you can make a lot of mistakes, because the margins in luxury are so great that you can make a 10% mistake on build cost. You can have your after completion sell price off by 20%, and you're still going to make probably a healthy return on your money. All your eggs are in one basket. You're building one or two homes. That's the risk
there.
If something happens in the neighborhood, you know, some new thing occurs that wasn't a factor when you were doing your feasibility on the intake. But more likely than not, that's not going to happen, right? Most markets are relatively stable. And the little side, you know, little booster bonus to that also is that I can turn and burn through these, especially now I have a system in place where I can turn and burn a luxury home in approximately 18 months. We're breaking ground on homes right now, three homes in particular in South Shore, in a country club in Lake Las Vegas, which is oddly enough in Henderson. We're breaking ground on parcels I acquired in May and June of 24, which is breakneck speed. To be acquiring a parcel and breaking ground. Yes. And by the way, we broke ground a month ago. So we're 5 months, 6 months in, and we're already breaking ground. Those homes will be substantially completed at the 1 year mark from owning the parcel. And we're sometimes 2 years before we're even moving any dirt to even do the on-site improvements and the off-site improvements to do a subdivision. So you're making decisions that are far, far, far out.
And as you talk about those margins, it occurs to me, you are streamlining the process. You've done enough of them. So where you said you have a little bit of flexibility in terms of if you go over in one area, another, you're still going to make a profit. There's that piece that says you've done it enough times where you're not making those initial
100%.
Yeah, so we talk about getting a little bit tighter even on your end.
Oh, 100. Yeah, it was a great easy way to break in to the development game, because I could make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I could have errors in judgment, and the market could change. I had three homes in the ground when COVID happened. You know, when lockdowns happened, and that was a scary place to be. Now, thankfully, the market was fine, mm-hmm. but I could have been.
We didn't know in the beginning.
Right. And it would have been okay either way, even if the market would not have been okay because the margins on them were so good. And I was a new developer. When I think back, I felt seasoned at the time, but I was a new guy. Mm-hmm. And I did not have my stripes yet. And I still don't on many, many capacities. But I now know more than I could have ever dreamed of knowing back from that
only
time.
Because you've done it, right?
You have to walk it to know it. You know what? When I was growing up, my dad always said, you'll never forget a mistake that cost you money. You know, physically hurts.
Yes.
Right. And you'll never forget it because it cost you money. So when we talk about, you know, auditing our engineering plans and why are these footers so over-engineered and why is this shear wall like this? And those are things that I wouldn't have even known 7 years ago. I wouldn't have even known to ask those questions and to be my own advocate. So it was a really easy way to put some training wheels on and get to the business of building homes and get a proof of concept. And now, like you said, I can predict within probably 5% of build costs, you know, mm-hmm. what it will be. And if I go over, it's because I made decisions on the fly that I felt that the home could sustain mm-hmm. and that would help and make the home more marketable.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about new policy that's coming in? I mean, what do you and
so that's a great to the next bullet point.
Tariffs and some of the other.
Yes, when I think about how much of that is posturing mm-hmm. and how much of it will we see supply chains react just from the threat of tariffs?
Just the conversations about it are creating a climate.
Is creating a climate mm-hmm. of instability in the supply chain, and that's something that I'm really worried about. And if they happen, God bless us all. When we have a shock of 30-40% on raw goods and the knock-on effects that we'll see down later on in the supply chain, and what that means for us. And mm-hmm. a lot of our lumber comes from Canada. Do we have a tariff with Canada? Is that part of it? It's just all this unknown and uncertainty. What does that do to our home prices? A lot of appliances and Samsung and things like that, they come from Asia and they're imported. Thankfully, homes are one of the last things still built by hand and one of the last things that you cannot import.
Right.
But so many of the goods that go into that home, maybe the copper comes from China for the electricity, depending on where you're sourcing it from. Mm-hmm. And
even just the countertop surfaces and
a lot of the quartz comes from China. It's not imported from Italy. Mm-hmm. It's Chinese quartz.
They have that
supply chain down pat, and we're getting a lot of things. I mean, not just trust home builders. Everyone is benefiting. It will affect home building and it will affect the supply chain. And then what does it do to local suppliers when they're emboldened by not having to match, you know, imported goods? And what does that look like? So what does Whirlpool do to their appliance lines when Samsung has to now pay a 40% tariff when they import their goods? Mm-hmm. So what does that do? Just overall,
that's true. The cause and effect of those things get
it's something to think about. It gets dicey, and those are things that keep me awake at night because it's terrifying to think about what that would do, how it would shock the system. And I don't have a crystal ball, and there's no. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't. Let me put it this way: do I really believe we're going to see those kind of tariffs? No. I think it's posturing, and I think it's mostly rhetoric. Mm-hmm. I just hope I'm right. So I'm not making decisions off of those tariffs, but it's keeping
that's
me
good
awake.
Though. Yeah.
Oh, I'm growing more than ever.
But to keep an awareness of it, and to know that it's out there, and to know that it's a conversation
it's a possibility.
That's going to be had right. throughout the year, whether it happens or not.
That's right.
Just like I said, the climate is out there because
the rhetoric
conversations
is
are being
the cat's out of the bag, yeah. Right? So I think that that's something that is really a big, big wild card. But will it affect in real time? You know, where the rubber meets the road, is it really going to change the way we build homes and the cost, the same way that the supply chain, true supply chain woes and the shocks to that system, I don't even know if it'll affect it that much. But it's scary. I don't want to live through 2021 again. And so even if it's like that, right, even if it's like that, that's still more than I care to bear. But if it wouldn't be business if it wasn't risky, and it wouldn't be business if it wasn't exciting, and if you weren't having to make decisions on the fly mm-hmm. and try to work around those things. What I do like is that I feel like that home building is another thing that is one of the last bastions of a level playing field. It, for the most part, yes, a big nationwide home builder is going to get a little bit more sway with zoning, is going to get a little mm-hmm. bit more sway in purchasing, but ultimately they're not seeing substantially lower lumber prices. They're not seeing substantially lower
true.
Cabinet prices. They're not seeing substantially. It's mm-hmm. not the same as if I were to try to recreate a car. And I have to go buy all the parts and do mm-hmm. and get my contracts with these people that cast the dies and supply this. And I'm going to make my own car line. And I have to compete with the likes of General Motors and Honda mm-hmm. and all these things. I feel that it's a more level playing field than that.
Or to if some I degree, were to, there is the buy in bulk.
Of course.
So if you're one of the big producers. You know,
of course. Of course. But. And when you think about, when I look at it this way, not to go too far down that rabbit hole, what they save in buying in bulk, they more than make up for in admin because they're such large organizations.
Absolutely. And they have to store it somewhere.
They have to store it.
Logistics.
And then, right. And they have these layers of management and payroll that Trust Home Builders doesn't have. Mm-hmm. We're a lean, mean fighting machine.
Yes.
We don't get the same discounts of buying in bulk, although we do get some sweetheart deals on things that might be pretty in line, so might surprise
small
you.
Business discounts.
Yeah,
sure.
Right, exactly. That the local vendors really want to do business mm-hmm. with us because we're easier to work with. We're quicker pay. You're not dealing with one person and purchasing, and then that person gets fired, and it's a new person purchasing. You're largely dealing with myself or a procurement employee, and it's the same guy. He's been doing the same job for years. So we have those relationships that we get that. I feel like we get pretty good. I'm pretty happy with my pricing. Mm-hmm. So but I don't know. I haven't opened the books of the publicly traded guys, but I feel
right.
like they also, I don't have a payroll of 150 people in this
sure.
division.
Makes
that's
a difference.
Right. So those, you know, those costs of operational costs that Trust Homebuilders doesn't really have to bear in relation to our $35 million worth of revenue that we'll sell this year of new homes being built.
I'm staggered every time you say that number.
That's why I said it. I wanted
so
to hear it again.
Great.
It was
yeah.
nice. It was nice to hear.
I'm glad you said it again.
Right. Yeah. As a percentage of that, our operational costs are a fraction.
Yeah.
I mean, our office overhead, mm-hmm. our employees, our health insurance, nothing compared to what these other guys are paying. Mm-hmm. There is one more headwind.
Okay.
The labor shortage. So nationwide, mm-hmm. we're not seeing it as badly here because Las Vegas is a desirable place for people to live. There's a lot of inward migration from other places, countries, cities, states, that kind of fills that labor gap. But it's estimated by the National Association of Home Builders we're about 200,000 to 400,000 construction workers short, just as a whole, mm-hmm. in general. I don't really feel it. I'm not on the scale of building 2,000 homes in this market yet. But I feel that there's enough draw here, mm-hmm. and the cost of living is still okay versus, let's say you're building in the Bay Area, and where is a $95,000 construction worker going to live when the average rent is $4,500 a month? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard to attract those labor
and
professionals.
Training for new labor professionals, right?
Right.
The new schools. There are some schools here
right.
that have opened in
that's
town
right.
that are
exactly.
kind of that workforce, but a lot and of that labor is aging out.
It,
mean,
it is.
And it's not.
It does scare me, that labor, and the, at least the skill level of it.
Yes.
But I will say labor begets labor. So if a son's father was in the roofing industry, there's probably a 30% chance one
that's
of his kids ends up in the roofing industry.
Sure.
And you know that okay, well, I work with this guy and he went into this, we were both working at this fast food place, and then he got a job doing as an electrical journeyman, let's say, as an example, and then his friend follows him because construction workers beget construction workers mm-hmm. and construction breeds construction. So I feel like there's enough elasticity in our labor market, but I do feel like that's a headwind to the nationwide labor market. I don't feel it's a threat to my company. Tariffs are a threat to my company. The market's a threat to mm-hmm. my company, but labor shortage, but it is something that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about. If we're talking about headwinds,
right,
we'd be remiss not to at least talk about the labor shortage because it is something that will factor into the nationwide numbers.
Anything else? Right.
No. That's no? Okay. I got plenty more negative stuff to talk about. No, I think.
Well, but the big ones, to be able those to address those and think about them, and then we can do a, you know, look back and how have they affected the market right. over the course of the
and
year.
And I hope tariffs are a nothing burger. I hope it's something right. we're talking
we'll
about in 6 months and say, well, that ended up
yeah,
being nothing.
We'll take it.
So the bright spots are we're way underbuilt in housing by mm-hmm. approximately in our market around 26%. Depending on what analytics person you ask, we're underbuilt by 26% every single year, yeah. which is a huge deficit you're building up. Nationwide, it's hard because real estate's so local, but nationwide, I would guess as a country, we're underbuilt by about 10% a year.
Wow.
Just purely guessing off of population growth. And we live in a very new, modern city, Las Vegas, but their aging out of inventory is a huge problem yeah. in the rest of the country. The average home in the U.S. is 40 years old. So that home is aging out. It's mm-hmm. not relevant
average.
In terms of its functionality. Yeah, mm-hmm. so that's...
We don't have a lot of that in Vegas because it's so new built.
It is. I mean, most of our growth came in the 90s, exactly. And even the 70s home, we don't have a ton of that inventory mm-hmm. here. We were 160,000 people in the 70s. Now we're 2.4 million. So most of our growth has been in 90s and 2000s mm-hmm. and this century. So I feel that that's something that... is good for home builders. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for the real estate market as those homes age out. Now, will those homes be torn down? Most likely not. Most of those homes will be great avenues for our entry-level buyer. And that's going to be a home that
has a lot of
picadillos and has a lot of nuance to it. But it makes for great inventory for the entry-level. And then that buyer can slowly put in money and grow the equity of that mm-hmm. home and then move up into something else. So... aged out inventory is a great, not to overuse that word, but it provides a lot of elasticity. So it gives people places to mm-hmm. go. So that's a tailwind for us. That's a bright spot as a home builder. Selfishly speaking, it's, like I said, it's not necessarily good for the overall health of the market. But and then I think it's generational. I think we have a huge cohort of people in the millennial and the Gen Z that are moving through into that home buying age.
Yep.
And are going to find ways, whether it's generational wealth, being left money, parents helping with down payments. At the mm-hmm. end of the day, the country is leaning towards household formation. Mm-hmm. Our demographics are the opposite problem of Italy and Japan. We have an overall young, vibrant population, right. if you look at our age. And they're aging into home ownership.
And there is some multi-generational lifestyle that's happening here that wasn't
right.
years ago. So I think some of that is also creating a greater... household
for sure
number.
And it's changing yeah exactly and as that unwinds itself, maybe it worked to live with mom and dad for a few years and then okay now we have a kid now
yes.
it doesn't work anymore
now
okay.
we've been able to save the money
right.
we can get our own
exactly.
so now you've taken that
one household and created two
and created two
and the population didn't change at all
exactly
but the demand for one home was created. So I feel that our overall the moral mm-hmm. of the story is in terms of the bright spot it's purely demand. It's the demand is very vibrant. And I worry when I talk about the headwinds that you look at, okay, well, what's propping up that demand? And mm-hmm. are there going to be things that quell that demand? Yes, absolutely. There will be some sort of shock to the demand. There will be. Maybe layoffs or, you know, less than rosy unemployment numbers. And that might slowly change. But again, will it be a drop in the bucket? Probably. With how much we're underbuilt. We would have to see a major drop off in demand. To even be in an equilibrium.
So those are the bright spots that we should look
yeah.
for.
Yeah, bright spots and headwinds.
That's where we'll focus. Yeah. We'll look at all the bright spots. That's always going to be my...
yeah, I'm going to choose to look at the bright spots.
I'm always looking at the bright spots.
I'm making decisions off of the bright spots. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And big decisions, major business decisions
yeah.
that have to be made
oh, yeah.
with, you know, that information
yeah.
at hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't be afraid of your own shadow. Mm. So.
Well, good. Thank you for great
Could have
insights.
Been another two-part.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Thank you guys for joining us again on another episode of Trust the Process podcast. And we look forward to seeing you back next time. Have lots to talk about and can't wait to share it with you on this journey. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.